We are in Selected Messages, of course, page 44, book 3. And we're a little like midway down the page here a little bit. Its subheading is Scenes of Familiarity and Adultery. And she says, while in Europe, the things that transpired in blank, wherever that was, were opened before me. A voice said, follow me and I will show you the sins that are practiced by those who stand in responsible positions. Boy, I tell you, today, all you got to do is turn on YouTube. And you know, you don't need a vision now when you see some of the preachers out there, stuff they're saying on YouTube, the things they're doing. Oh, man, it's just disgusting. And I'm talking about the Ninth Hour Church. I forget about the Sunday Keepers and all this other stuff. I mean, they're just so way off in left field. They're Isaiah 4, verse 1. They are what Isaiah predicted they would be. They're only calling themselves Christians to take away their shame. But they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. That's what Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 says, if you define every single prophetic symbol in that statement. So she goes on. I went through rooms, and I saw you, a watchman, upon the walls of Zion. We're very intimate with another man's wife, betraying sacred trusts, crucifying your Lord afresh. Did you consider that there was a watcher, capital W, the Holy One, capital H, capital O, who was witnessing your evil work, seeing your actions and hearing your words? And these are also registered in the books of heaven. Oh, man. It's just like Nathan standing right there in front of David after he let the cat out of the bag in regards to that little ewe lamb. I mean, you forget about your jaw dropping. Your heart hits the floor. Because David had a heart after God's own heart. And how he got sidestepped in that, how he got all of a sudden to a point where he didn't realize or forgot his walk or forgot his love for his first love, as the word says. I mean, the devil got him sidestepped. The devil had that little pinky toe hold and then went from there and somehow. And we've all had it happen to us. Praise God, 1 John 1:9. Confess, repent, and he'll cleanse you. And so just hope and pray you don't do it again. But still, even if you do, 1 John 1:9. I mean, what did Jesus say to Peter? How many times should you, forgive? 7 times? Or 70 times 77 times? So she goes on. She says, she was sitting on your lap. You were kissing her as she was kissing you. Other scenes of fondness, sensuous looks, and deportment were presented before me, which sent a thrill of horror through my soul. Your arm encircled her waist, and the fondness expressed was having a bewitching influence. Then a curtain was lifted, and I was shown you in bed with blank. And my guide said, iniquity, adultery. And iniquity is known sin. You know what you're doing is wrong. That's what iniquity, that's how you define it. Kind of reminds me of a dream I had about Bill Clinton. It was weird. And then that Monica Lewinsky thing hit. It was weird. Strange. Really strange. Because it was like, hey, man, don't you realize everybody's going to see what you... It's going to go global? Anyway, this next one's titled The Message Represented as Fruit Being Given Out. And she says, your work has been represented to me in figures. You were passing round to a company a vessel filled with most beautiful fruit. But as you offered them this fruit, you spoke words so harsh and your attitude was so forbidding that no one would accept it. Then another came to the same company and offered them the same fruit. And so courteous and pleasant were his words and manner as he spoke of the desirability of the fruit that the vessel was emptied. Now, most of us, myself included, need to hear those words, because a lot of us can get pretty harsh, especially when we're getting attacked. You know, I mean, it's one thing to rebuke. We know what Ephesians says in regards to that. I think it's Ephesians 5:12. You know, rebuke it openly. There's no sin in that. Jesus even called those guys hypocrites, if you recall. But you got to do the Titus 3:10 kind of a thing first. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't think right off the bat, the minute they send you an email, that they're on the war path day one, the very first email. Because sometimes they just honestly do have a question. And sometimes they honestly do have a question that they're planning to manipulate you with. So just play it out. Let it go. Let it ride its course. And what I like to do, though, is, and if any of you know how to figure out how to do this, you might want to consider this. What I like to do is when I get emails from people that have questions that I don't know yet, or like the first time I ever get a question from them using the Contact Us page on the website, I respond, of course, like I always do, even though I'm about 200 behind again. But I respond like I always do, but I'll respond with a no reply, like a bounce back, which means, because I've seen this happen so many times, and Catholics like to do this. And now SDAs, because of the thing with don't call the SDA Church Babylon theology that's so echoed so many times, so out of context. But now I just give, I already have a blurb I sent. It says, look, you want to see this back in context now? You need to read the Bible. You need to read Spirit of Prophecy. You can't read your pastor. You can't echo a pastor. That's not Christianity. That's churchianity. And he's not a preacher. He's a preacher-tainer. You got to do your homework. And so I put it back in context, right? And whenever that happens, and I do it as gentle as possible because I already got it all written up, and a lot of times I'll even have Fran read it because she's a lot more gentle than I am. You know, I kind of like lean towards those sons of thunder. And so I do that because sometimes people, you know, it seems to me like a very honest question, and I'll answer it, and all of a sudden I'll get an email back that's just dripping with hatred and vile words and name calling and insults and out of context scripture and all this crazy stuff. But they can't do that if I give them a no reply. Like no reply at remedygod.org. It just ain't getting to me. It's just going to bounce. Because there ain't no email address on my server called no reply. And so that way you'll, so for some of you that, because like I know some of you do a lot of online work, and you might frequent chat rooms and stuff like that, because that's what I did in the beginning too. I would frequent a lot of chat rooms and hand out a Yahoo email. Well, actually, I did a Remnant of God email address because I could just, you know, delete it if it starts annoying me, because I wouldn't give out my regular email address because I have my own server, so I can just change it up. And so you might want to consider doing it. Have a Yahoo email address so that if somebody starts attacking, just delete that account. Just ignore it, because Titus 3:10 is clear. Just, you know, after two times, forget about it. Walk away. You planted the seeds, and your approach obviously didn't work with them, but the seed was planted. And then the Lord will send somebody else. This is why Titus 3:10 was written. All right, next one here. It says, one of authority counsels regarding location of sanitarium. And she says, in the night season, I was in a council meeting wherein the brethren were discussing the matter of the sanitarium in Los Angeles. One of the brethren presented the advantages of establishing the sanitarium in the city of Los Angeles. Then one of authority arose and presented the matter with clearness and force. Could you imagine Los Angeles back then? I wouldn't want to be anywhere near it now. But and if we have a convocation on the West Coast and stuff like that, it ain't going to be anywhere near any of those big cities. You're going to have to cruise out of the city to some kind of a campground, even if it happens to be in, like, Nevada, some neighboring state, because there's just that state, California. I don't know how big the cities are. Like I've said, I've only gone to three or four convocations out there, and I've only been in the cities when they did the convocations, and I always thought that was odd. But I didn't set those up, so I was just invited to speak, and so I really had no choice in regards to where they set it up. All right, this next one, she's titling it, they're titling it, the compilers. It's called Contrasting Scenes, Illustrating Missionary Fervor. And it says, I seemed to be in a large gathering. One of authority was addressing the company before whom was spread out a map of the world. He said that the map pictured God's vineyard, which must be cultivated. As light from heaven shone upon anyone. What? Oh, okay. As light from heaven shone upon anyone, that one was to reflect the light to others. Lights were to be kindled in many places, and from these lights, still other lights were to be kindled. You ever seen that commercial in the 70s about that hair shampoo? You tell two friends about it, and so on, and so on, and so on, and it just kept on all of us. You know, the screen would fill with the girl saying, and so on, because it would just keep on repeating her face. That's word of mouth. And that's how quickly it can spread. You really don't need the internet. All you need is the Lord. And pretty soon, we're not going to have the access to the internet as easily as... I mean, there's ways. We can do some BBS stuff and some darknet stuff. You know, darknet is a lousy name, but there is like an underground kind of an internet we can use. But it's not as accessible, and it's kind of slow because it's, you know, pretty well proxied, like piggybacking all over the place. But as we see, even with the work we're doing, we're censored because of the truth we have. I just found out the other day, too, compliant, or not compliant, what is it? I think, is it compliant? Who was it? Like a cable TV company that also offers internet. What was the name of it? That they actually block remedygod.org. Well, they block my server, which means remedygod.org, sdaapostasy.org, and the Seventh-day Remnant Church.org. Well, it wasn't AOL. It wasn't Comcast. Well, AOL does block my emails. And if you have a D-Link router with parental controls on it, the parental controls are designed by the Great Firewall of China, which is totally anti-Christian, which means my site comes up as a terrorist website. At least that's the warning that pops up. A friend of mine actually copied it and sent a picture and emailed it to me years ago. And I called D-Link, with, you know, got crickets, nothing. But I can't remember, like some of the, there was a few people actually, that a couple people that contacted me this week, or was it last week, that said they couldn't get to the website for the longest time until they got, they stopped using their internet service provider. They used Verizon instead, and they got through. And they're thinking, no, it wasn't one of those big names. Optimum. I think it was Optimum. I'd have to look through my emails. But they're blocking my server. Period. And obviously they may know about what we're doing, and the owner of that cable company might be Roman Catholic or SDA. It's Optimum? Okay, thanks, Fran. All right, yeah, that was the one, Optimum. And so now I don't know what section of the country it was in or whatever, but all I know is they're slowly but surely doing that now with these little local ISPs. You know, I guess they put you on a blacklist or something, or maybe they're all connected with friends and all, because you know how that goes. You know, the billionaires and millionaires are all, you know, one big happy group and just smoke cigars and swear all night or something. I don't know. At least with their little secret society handshakes and stuff. So she goes on to say, I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth. God's word was obeyed. And as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. And like I was saying a minute ago, you don't need the internet. You go forward with this truth, the Lord's going to make it spread. You know, from one voice to the next. And like Sister White says in one of her other books, like the leaves of autumn, just let the tracks fall like the leaves of autumn. And boy, we've been doing that. How about it? Especially when Pastor Craig was still in the States. It was over 700,000 tracks. That's a crazy amount if you think about it. Nearly a million tracks were handed out in just a few states in and Canada. I don't even know if he counted Canada, but I'm you know, they and it was just little cards. And now the Lord is blessing us with another idea that one of the brothers here, I don't know if he wants to mention his name, but in regards to, you know, sending out cards, inviting people to come to church online. And the cards would just say, just come to church. So, anyway, she goes on. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world, and then this map was removed and another put in its place. On it, light was shining from a few places only. The rest of the world was in darkness, with only a glimmer of light here and there. Our instructor said, this darkness is a result of men's following their own course. They have cherished hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. In other words, just following after, it's kind of like Franklin Graham following after Billy. He's just following in his dad's footsteps, you know, hereditary. He's just, you know, because he's connected, government-wise. You know, when Billy Graham first came out, he looked like, well, he was a Christian. Everybody thought. But it was all set up. They used that. It's a Jesuit tactic. And they've been using that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And because we're only alive for one generation, none of us knew this because we weren't alive back then when they did this before. And a lot of this stuff is not really listed in history books and stuff. And what I mean is, I remember when I was a kid sitting in a pew in a Catholic church sitting next to my dad, and the priest said, yeah, there's a big old candy-striped tent down the road where they're having a revival, and Billy Graham's there, and I would pray that everybody here in this church family stay away from there because he will proselytize you. And when I heard that word, I got all scared. It sounded, I didn't know what it meant. I was like 8, 9, 10, something like that. My dad, of course, later told me what it meant, but that was like an open invitation. You tell someone not to go somewhere, they're going to go. And so what it does is the same thing that, like, that Grossball guy did. I think that was it. It was a Grossball where he's in the Seventh-day Adventist church declaring it evil. It's a sister to fall in Babylon, the whole 9 yards. And after a few years of him saying that, they kick him out. They disfellowship him. And all the SDAs that have left the church claim it to his side, thinking they got a leader. And after about 4 or 5 years, the SDA church invited him back in, and he came with 3/4 of everybody that left, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that left the church in that area especially, all came back in because he went. Well, Billy Graham more or less did the same thing. He goes out telling everybody that the Pope is the Antichrist and all this and that and the other stuff. And now, and actually about 10, 15 years ago, I put it on the website, Billy Graham declares the Pope a holy man of God. He declares Jesus is not necessary for salvation. All sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, it literally echoing Roman theology. So now the cat's out of the bag. We know what he's been up to. And now his son's out there trying to act like he's all shiny and new. And so, if you read your Bibles, these little darts, yeah, Satan's darts can't get to you, so don't worry about it. But they're going to have that cherished, hereditary, and cultivated tendencies to evil, just like Sister White said. And here we're seeing it right in our day. And then she goes on, they have been questioning and fault-finding and accusing the chief businesses of their lives, or the chief business of their lives. Their heart's not right with God. They have hidden their light under a bushel. And then the next one here, page 46. The subheading is the study of the word and special knowledge. And it says, with the light communicated through the study of his word, with the special knowledge given of individual cases among his people under all circumstances and in every phase of experience, can I now be in the same ignorance, the same mental uncertainty and spiritual blindness as at the beginning of this experience? Will my brethren say that Sister White has been so dull a scholar that her judgment in this direction is no better than before she entered Christ's school to be trained and disciplined for a special work? Am I no more intelligent in regard to the duties and perils of God's people than are those before whom these things have never been presented? Excellent question to ask. The obvious answer. She was blessed. So, next one is Holy Spirit impressed Ellen White's mind and heart. And it says, God has given me a marked, solemn experience in connection with his work. And you may be assured that so long as my life is spared, I shall not cease to lift a warning voice as I am impressed by the Spirit of God. Whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. Because we really don't know. It's just like with those tracks, almost 1 million tracks put out there. But I still get emails and I still get phone calls to this day because of those tracks. I says, wait a second, I put that on the car 2-3 years ago. I says, yeah. People call and email. Well, yeah, right off the bat, some people called and email and says, beep, 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 all these swear words and saying, I'll put that on my car or I'll sue you or beat you up or whatever. But why they always call me is beyond me, because I never put anything on anybody's cars, in those areas. I guess because the website address was on there, obviously. But we're still getting, because I don't know how many, this usually happens every time. People will email and says, yeah, it was on your website 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever. Finally decided to send you an email or a phone call or whatever. And that's fine. Check it out. Yeah, it could take you 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Because if you print the website out, it's a little over 11,000 pages. And I'm not boasting. It's just that much information exposing what's going on in this world, especially when it comes to what's spewing from Rome. I mean, it just makes my job so easy. I mean, preaching is one thing. I mean, open book test, every, you know, we've all been to high school. Open book test is like Yahoo, you know, no homework, nothing. Just, you know, you go through the book and get the answers. Easy. So preaching is pretty easy because he already wrote it all down. All we got to do is share it. And then everything else is just amazing how he, like with, like the prophecies, for example. If you understand prophetic symbolism, well, if you don't, there is a study on the site where every symbol in Revelation is defined using all the other books of the Bible. That's the only way you're going to understand it anyway, so you may as well do that that way. I mean, I've done that for years, but I've never actually compiled it, and I figured I'd best do that because I'm getting old, and there are some people that may want to, you know, pick up where I left off if I happen to go to sleep before everything's over. And so hopefully the tools will be there for them. But yeah, with what's going on in Rome and what's going on in history, oh, it's just, it's ridiculously easy. The only thing that constrains me is there's only 24 hours in a day, and I'm just one man. Well, not anymore, but for many, 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 many years, that's, you know, I mean, with the website, it's just me, of course, because I do everything so unorthodox that it's not going to be easy for, you know, like, if I ever decide to hand it over, I'm going to have to sit down with somebody and okay, this is the way I set things up so as to prevent getting hacked. But it's not that big of a difference from the way everybody else does it, but there are some weird things I do that work, you know, unless, of course, you're using XP with a bunch of holes, then you're in trouble. But praise the Lord that the work really is pretty easy the way the Lord sets it up for us, because he prophesied, history happened. All you got to do is put two and two together. It's called the study of eschatology. You just look at the prophecy, see if it happened in history, and who did it? Well, it just so happens every prophecy that's ever been uttered in the scriptures that has to do with Antichrist have been fulfilled by the popes. So it's just, and that's why I don't deal with Illuminati or Opus Dei or the Jesuits the Templar thing and all that. Why bother with these little wannabes? You know, I go after the big guy. You know, it's just like I've always been when I was a young man. You know, if you deal with somebody that's micromanaging, you have to go through 10 or 15. It's just like trying to call AT&T. You got to talk to 10 or 15 people before you get somebody that's actually going to do something. So why bother doing that? Go right to the source. Expose the source. You know, they're the ones that put the sidetracks out there. They're the ones that are trying to make everybody says, hey, check this out. Look at the Illuminati's doing. Look at this, look at it. And then ignore what the Pope's doing. It's just like, and then there's so many smoke screens out there, too. I mean, so many people think that the chosen people are in Jerusalem. It's not what the Bible says. Sure, they call themselves Jews. They still call themselves Israelites, but that's not what the Bible calls them. That's what the Bible calls us. But no one reads their Bibles. Because Amos predicted. What is it? Amos chapter 8, verse 11. He predicted. Most people ain't going to be reading their Bibles today. So she goes on. She says, I have no special wisdom in myself. I am only an instrument in the Lord's hands to do the work he has sent for me to do. Like all of us. Same thing. The instructions that I have given by pen or voice have been an expression of the light that God has given me. I have tried to place before you the principles that the Spirit of God has for years been impressing upon my mind and writing on my heart. And now, brethren, I entreat you not to interpose between me and the people and to turn away the light which God would have come to them. Do not by your criticisms take out all the force, all the point and power from the testimonies. Do not feel that you can dissect them to suit your own ideas. There's a prophetic statement. I don't even think she was, well, maybe she did realize what she was saying. Well, yeah, of course, she's seen them do it with her own eyes. But boy, if she were alive today, they have really ripped into her writings. I mean, it's to suit their own ideas. At the convocation, as a matter of fact, Brother Eli had a, it was Eli, right, that had that Ellen White Bible? Was it you, Eli, that had that Bible, or was it somebody else? Yeah, okay. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Okay, duh. Commandment number 4, right? The footnote was a footnote to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, which talks about the apostles meeting on the first day of the week. Convenient. In a Seventh-day Adventist Bible, they're referencing the Sabbath commandment with Sunday-keeping verses that the world uses to say this is a Sunday Sabbath. And then it backtracks. You go to Acts 20, verse 7, it backtracks to Exodus 20, 8 to 11. Trying to make people think, look, the Sabbath is really Sunday. Look, they met on the first day of the week. Go back to it's ridiculous. And it's also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And that's an Ellen White Bible. That's a Seventh-day Adventist Bible. Well, it's a no-brainer. I mean, on SDAapostasy.org, my sister site, which I set up after I started getting attacked by some SDA ministers for one page I had on my website about the agreement with Rome that they had. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of Seventh-day Adventist churches now keeping Sunday holy. I actually did a video just a couple of weeks ago in regards to General Conference president saying, it's no big deal. When one of the SDA churches decided to start holding Sunday services to bring the people in, just like 321 AD, when Constantine set up the first Sunday laws. Yeah, they decided to get the people to come in, get the pagans to come in, and, because they worship on Sunday and we worship on Sabbath. And yes, they did worship on Sabbath. Everybody likes to lie. All these Sunday-keeping preachers and the popes like to lie and say that Sunday-keeping started the minute Jesus came out of the grave. But no, it didn't. And the fact Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 24 that later on, 40 years later, when Jerusalem was going to be surrounded and destroyed in 70 AD, he literally stated, pray that it doesn't happen on Sabbath day, right? Declaring right there, 40 years after I ascend, you're still going to be keeping Sabbath. Well, actually, 288 years later. I'm going to be going into that tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And so they, just use the same method that Constantine did in his day to try to bring the people in. Says, this will get them to come in and hear the message of the SDA church. Well, this, what's the difference between what they did back then in 321? Same mindset. And he says, no big deal. Why? Because he's a Jesuit. Or at least, in agreement with a Jesuit. So, going on. Let me backtrack a little bit. She says, do not feel that you can dissect them to suit your own ideas. Of course, talking about her testimonies. She says, claiming that God has given you an ability to discern what is light from heaven and what is the expression of mere human wisdom. In other words, she didn't mean it to say that, She meant this. And here, I'll twist a couple of her statements to prove it. Because that's really what they're doing. Like what they do with this, don't call the SDA Church Babylon. She never said that. She said in her day, and I honestly believe, and I stated this years ago, and I'll repeat it now. I honestly believe that the devil attacked the Seventh-day Adventist Church during the Ninth Hour Movement when it was doing the work of God to get people to declare it Babylon so that she would state in writing never to call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon at that time, because at that time they were doing the work of God and they weren't Babylon, so that he, Satan, could use it later in our day to twist it to make it look like, hey, you can't call it Babylon. Look what Sister White said, She said don't call it Babylon. Well, put it back in context, which you got to keep doing over and over and over and over and over and over again, because everybody in the SDA church that likes to email me all use the exact same quote. So I just sent them the exact same. It's kind of like a foreign letter now, because I learned that from the Catholics when I was doing the BBS thing, because they would hit me with these questions that they knew would take 2, 3, 4, 5 days sometimes to study up. And I would do it because I really love topical study. It's like a puzzle. I just love it. The most recent one I did, which I had a real blast with, the flat earth thing. And I'm still not done with it. I'm still digging stuff up every now and then. I haven't put it on the site yet, but yeah. They think they'd be a little bit crafty. They'd wait 3 months, 6 months, and they'll have some other guy acting like he's different, using a different name, asking me the same question, but rewording it. And I would just blurp it all back in within minutes. That way, in other words, they figure this will get them off the BBS for 3 or 4 days. Because they couldn't stand me on there. 44,000 statements the Lord allowed me to post on there. And they're still on there to this day. Because that's permanent until Jesus gets here. That BBS, that stuff is still, it's Usenet now, it's called. Well, I don't know if they're still using calling it as Usenet, but so she finishes by saying, if the testimony speak not according to the word of the God, to word of God, reject them. Of course, she's more or less echoing Isaiah 8:20. And the next one here is titled Illustrated. Okay, we're a minute over, but let me just see how far this goes. She goes, illustrated in the location of a food, you know, illustrated in the location of a food factory. Oh, good, this is another vision. She goes, in the visions of the night, these principles were presented to me. Okay, this is going to go, well, let me just go to the next page. Maybe this ends it. Oh, it does. Okay, this is the last one. All right, praise the Lord. Perfect timing again. The praises lasted exactly, but so we'll go like, what, 5 minutes over? Well, actually, my computer's, I think, 5 minutes fast. So let me backtrack a little bit. She goes, in the visions of the night, these principles were presented to me in connection with the proposal of, for the establishment of a bakery at Loma Linda, which, by the way, now uses chemo and says homosexual marriage is okay and all sorts of other crazy things. I mean, just go to sdaposse.org, go to the articles section and look up Loma Linda. And she says, I was shown a large building where many foods were made. There were also some smaller buildings near the bakery. As I stood by, I heard loud voices in dispute over the work that was being done. There was a lack of harmony among the workers, and confusion had come in. Sounds like today. She says, then I saw Brother Burden approach. His countenance bore a look of anxiety and distress as he endeavored to reason with the workmen and bring them into harmony. The scene was repeated, and Brother Burden was often drawn away from his legitimate work as a manager of the sanitarium to settle variances. Arguments. I then saw patients standing on the beautiful sanitarium grounds. They had heard the disputes between the workmen. The patients did not see me, but I could see them and hear them, and their remarks were brought to my ears. They were expressing words of regret that a food factory should be established on these beautiful grounds in such close proximity to an institution for the care of the sick. Some were disgusted. I love these visions. These are just amazing. You know, visions upon her bed, like Daniel, dreams, you know. Well, visions, prophetic dreams. Then she says, then one appeared on the scene and said, all this has been caused to pass before you as an object lesson that you might see the result of carrying out certain plans. Then lo, the whole scene changed. The bakery building was not where we had planned it, but at a distance from the sanitarium buildings on the road toward the railway. It was a humble building and a small work was carried on there. The commercial idea was lost sight of, and in its stead, a strong spiritual influence pervaded the place. And that's the way you got to do it. Amen. Yeah. So amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord for the truth. Oh, pray you're blessed. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that spoke, especially all the ones and all the praises. I mean, it's just an amazing Sabbath evening again, like usual. Thank you so much for blessing us, even in these intense days. And we know when the days get even more intense and, you know, and scary for the people that don't trust you, of course, but we're not going to have that fear because you have not given us a spirit of fear. And so even then, we're going to be praising you. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos, a leper colony, praising your name. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with these trials and giving us the smiles during them, too. And please, again, bless everybody that was in attendance, as well as all the prayer requests that were put forth in the text chat, as well as all the prayer requests that are already on our prayer list. Thank you for blessing us with brothers and sisters, Father. Real brothers and sisters in the faith, because many of us have lost our families, like Jesus prophesied. Some of our enemies are of our own household now, but we have brothers and sisters now that are going to be our family members for all eternity. And so please keep that strong hedge of angels around each and every one of us so that we can make it home. And thank you for nudging us when we slip off the edge of the path or get too close to the edge. And again, please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.